ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಕಚ್ಚಿತ್ ಪುರಾಣೋ ಪುರುಷೌ ಸ್ವನಾಭ್ಯ ಪಾದ್ಮಾನುವೃತ್ಯೇಹ ಕಿಲಾವತೀರ್ಣೋ ಆಸಾತ ಉರ್ವ್ಯಾಕುಶಲಂ ವಿಧಾಯ ಕೃತ ಕ್ಷಣೋ ಕುಶಲಂ ಸೂರಗೇಹೆ So, important point that happiness of the family of Lord's devotees depends on happiness of the Lord. Okay, so when the Lord is happy, when the Lord is pleased, then his blessings come upon all the souls. And without the grace of the Lord, no one can become happy and prosperous. Yeah, what do you want? Good, thank you. You have to ask Chakravarti Pad only. So many details are there amongst all these great souls. It's an interesting insight about the emotions experienced by Uddhava. Yeah, many times Sridhar Swami will say one thing, then Chakravarti Pad will say one thing, Sanatana Goswami will say, but it's all like different ways of relishing. Right? From rice you can make pulao, you can make sweet rice, you can make, you know, curd rice. So different flavors are available. So like that, from similar, same verse, all these acharyas bring out different flavors. Like that. So it's not to be considered contradiction. It is to be considered variety. Variety for appreciating the Lord's reciprocation with his devotees more. So then, so he begins his list of questions. So this is an interesting section where we can learn that how, in spite of facing realistic situations filled with negativity, you know, the fact that the entire Yadava dynasty has been destroyed is a very ugly reality. It's a very painful reality. Right? So therefore, many times we feel that the process of mitigating a painful reality is discussing about the details of those painful moments. And many times, because our mind is so affected by it, as they say, what is in the sponge, when you squeeze, that will come out. So if we are filled with the pain caused by certain negative reality, certain calamity, certain difficulty, then at the earliest possible moment, at the least opportunity, we start speaking about it, because the mind is just filled with it. So therefore, the speech is a very good barometer of understanding the consciousness of a person. because it is impossible for someone to think of something and speak of something else on a regular basis. It's not possible. You can't like fake for long periods of time. It's not possible. So therefore, two things are revealed here, that Vidura was a very highly elevated personality who was aware of the reality, but also aware that we are helpless in the face of reality under the control of the Supreme Lord and His will. He's aware of the reality, but he's also aware that all things happen under the control of the Lord's will. So therefore, because Vidura was highly spiritually evolved, he had a natural detachment. Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahetukam. And because of that, he realized that I have no control over what just happened. It's painful. It's painful, but it could not have been prevented. And nothing can be done about it to change it. So if a reality is painful, but we can't do anything to reverse it, so let's limit the amount of discussion on that. That's what we can see from this conversation. An extended discussion and analysis of the causes and the reasons, and getting into a detailed blame game, is not going to help the consciousness of those who have survived that reality. Whoever is supposed to be affected by the reality is already gone. So whoever survives and is witness to that reality may discuss it to prevent such an occurrence in the future. But beyond that, simply churning the whole thing again and again, back and forth, is not going to help. It only degrades our consciousness more. But we have a tendency to do that. When we are affected by some situation which causes pain, it permeates our consciousness all through the day and night. And because all through day and night we are thinking about it, when someone just touches a little bit, boom, that's what comes out. You know, and I'm talking about serious situations which are painful, like that. And what creates pain? What is definition of pain? Events which defy false ego create pain. That means I think I am in control. I am quite convinced that, you know, just that it is a matter of time before the world realizes that I am in control. People are not fully aware how much in control I am in. It will be revealed in due course of time. You know. But then situations occur which totally defy our plans, which make a total ridicule of our ability to control the situation. And that causes so much of pain. So therefore, pain is very closely related to false ego. Right? So therefore, here we can see that personalities like Vidura, Uddhava, they're all on a transcendental platform who are fully aware of the power of Krishna as all-powerful controller, understanding their limitations over reality. And not only that, they happily submit to the will of Krishna, however inconceivable it may be. So Krishna consciousness is not the process of understanding Krishna's will. Krishna consciousness is the process of submitting to Krishna's will. So many times we feel that the purpose of studying Shastra is to understand Krishna's will. But we have already gone through so many verses in Bhishma Dev section and other sections, where also in the bull and Maharaj Parikshit conversation, this point has been reiterated, that the will of the Lord cannot be understood. It is inconceivable. Nahi asya karhichit rajan puman veda viditsitam yat vijigyasaya yukta muhyanti kavayopihi. Cannot be understood. So therefore, one should abandon the attempt to understand the Lord's will in detail. The only thing we should understand is the Lord desires that all of us submit and serve selflessly that will. Kachit kurunam parama suhritno bhama sa aste sukhamanga shaurihi. Yo vai svashranam pitruvat dadati varan vadanyo varatarpanena. So, then he asks about Vasudev, and Prabhupada writes in the purport that how Vasudev was taking care of Kunti Maharani. He never dissatisfied his wife, at the same time he supplied the objects desired by his sister. So, that's quite a successful personality. Who can manage family on both sides? One who can manage to please the family members on the wife's side and his own family simultaneously for extended periods of time is quite successful. Right? So many brahmacharis have this experience that when they are joining the ashram, the mother is very dissatisfied and crying. But then after one of the brothers gets married, then the mother starts having issues with the daughter-in-law. Then she starts taking shelter of the brahmachari son more and starts even glorifying his decision that, yes, I think what you have done is right. So, in that sense, Vasudeva was very caring and he had a very close relationship. And Prabhupada says that he had special attention for Kunti because she became a widow at an early age. While inquiring about Vasudeva's welfare, Vidura remembered all about him and the family relationship. So these inquiries by Vidura reveal that Krishna consciousness means remembering Krishna along with his Vaishnavas. One cannot separate Krishna's remembrance from the Vaishnava's remembrance. If our mind is filled with negative thoughts about Vaishnavas, it is filled with anger and hatred towards Vaishnavas, envy for the Vaishnavas, skepticism towards Vaishnavas, doubt in Vaishnava's character. And then we attend seminars on holy name and we try to improve attentive chanting and remembrance of Krishna. So it is contradictory. So remembrance of Krishna and remembrance of Vaishnavas go hand in hand. It is impossible to have a heart filled with negativity towards Vaishnavas and expect Krishna to come and reside there. Krishna comes and resides in a nice, clean, brilliant, resplendent altar, temple. Krishna will not come and reside in an ugly, filthy, muck-filled, you know, stool house. So therefore we should know that the very essence of Vaishnavism is to improve our relationship with the Vaishnavas, please them. And so it is described about Raghunath Das Goswami, yaha sarva laukaika manobhiruchya saubhagya bhu kachit akrishta pachya yatrayam aropana tulya kalam tat prema shakhi phalavan atulya. Raghunath Das Goswami is special because he was not only a renunciant of the highest order. Why he advanced so fast यह सर्व लौकिक मनोभिरुच्या, हिज पर्सनैलिटी, हिज डीलिंग्स, हिज कैरेक्टर वॉज मनोभिरुच्या, इट वॉज वेरी प्लीजिंग टू द माइंड ऑफ ऑल द वैष्णवाज इन जगन्नाथपुरी, द न्यूअर वैष्णवाज एंड द एलिवेटेड वैष्णवाज एंड द मोस्ट इंटीमेट वैष्णवाज ऑफ महाप्रभु. देयर हार्ट वुड जस्ट बी फिल्ड विथ ब्लिस अपॉन सीइंग रघुनाथ दास गोस्वामीज मूड ऑफ सर्विट्यूड एंड ह्यूमिलिटी. यह सर्वलौकिक मनोभिरुच्या, सर्वलौकिक. So Raghunath Das Goswami's dealings, character, behavior was not pleasing only to few people. It was not that he was trying to please few people and with others he was misbehaving or behaving whimsically. Yaha sarva laukaika manobhiruchya. And because of this, his heart, the field of his heart became Saubhagya Bhu. Bhu refers to the field where seeds are sown. So in agriculture, the first thing is you have to till the field. And when you till the field, and right at this point, Tarun Nitai Prabhu enters, which confirms our analogy. You know? So we are giving example from agriculture. So as soon as you till the field, and then you sow the seed. The tilling process is required to create the right platform for the seeds to receive their nourishment and to grow. Saubhagya Bhu means there are different kinds of fields, different kinds of soil types available, right? And the soil, suppose in Bengal near Mayapur, where all the silt is coming all the way from the Himalayas and all the minerals are being carried, that's considered like gold. Ye matti sona hai, people say, because it is filled with nutrients. You just put anything, it will just grow. So that is called Saubhagya Bhu, the most fortunate field, the most opulent field. So his heart was like that, Saubhagya Bhu. It was so fertile, it was so ripe, it was so rich that kachit akrishta pachya, there was no need to till it also. When you don't need even tilling and you just put the seed and it grows, so that is the highest in fertility as far as soil is concerned. So his heart was so soft, so rich, and so much filled with devotion and feelings for other devotees. Saubhagya Bhu Kachit Akrishta Pachya. So there was no need to even till it because his heart had been inundated with the nutrients of the blessings of the Vaishnavas who just were so pleased with him. So that is the real nourishment. The blessings of the Vaishnavas acted as the fertilizers. We just fertilized and enriched his heart so much. Tat yatrayam aropana tulyakalam. And at that point when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then sowed the seed of bhakti, as soon as that seed fell upon such a fertile heart, yatrayam aropana, as soon as the seed fell on that heart, tulyakalam, at the same time, it started growing immediately. Right? So normally there is some time. Then you sow the rice plantation, it will start growing over a few months. But what does it mean? The field of his heart was so ripe and so ready that the moment the seed fell, tat prema shakhi, the tat prema shakhi phalavan atulya. The Bhaktilata beach converted into a plant and the fruit of love immediately became available. Tat prema shaki phalavan atulya, incomparable sweet fruit of love was available. So that is Raghunath Das Goswami. Right? So Nityananda Prabhu, he glorifies him. Krishna pada padma ganda yejanapai ब्रह्मलोक आदि सुख तारे नहीं भाए. अरे दिस पर्सनैलिटी ही इज टेस्टेड लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभु मर्सी चैतन्य कृपा ते सेह नहीं भाए मने सबे आशीर्वाद करो यौ का चैतन्य चरणे. ऑल ऑफ यू गिव योर मर्सी दैट ही अचीव्स महाप्रभुज लोटस फीट. एंड कृष्ण पाद पद्म गंध ही हैज रिसीव्ड द स्मेल ऑफ लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभुज लोटस फीट. देयरफॉर ब्रह्म लोक आदि सुख तारे नहीं भाए. यू कांट यू नो अट्रैक्ट हिम विद इवन ब्रह्म लोक सुख. सो देयरफॉर दिस इज वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट दैट विदुरा although he has spent, probably because he has spent more time amongst demons, amongst Kauravas, he still has a lot of appreciation for Vaishnavas. But he's a great Vaishnav, you know. So in spite of this situation, he's constantly thinking and remembering each and every Vaishnav. So therefore we should know that a trapeze artist in a circus is able to make all the somersaults. From one, he just takes like this, whoo, he goes on the other end, makes a somersault and holds the other thing, right? You have seen? What gives him the guts to do it? You remove the net, tell him, go. Will he make any somersault? No. So what is that net? So in association of devotees, all of us also make many somersaults. Do this seva, that seva. You know, and everyone says, Jai Jai, Wah Wah, wonderful, Hari Bol, Are Kya Seva Kya, Kamal Hai. So if you start thinking that I am the one making somersault, then you forget that there is the net below. And the net below is the good wishes and the blessings of all the Vaishnav community. And the whole Vaishnav community is there below to hold us in case we trip and fall. And to again raise us up, one more, try one more, right? So, and every time we commit an offense to a Vaishnava, we should know we are making a hole in that net. So that when next time we make a somersault, we may fall right in that hole only and go straight down. So therefore, the remembrance of Krishna is severely inhibited by hurting the hearts of devotees. And so here Vidura is able to freely remember and fondly remember all the Vaishnavas in Dwarka who had just now committed the greatest blunder in history by getting intoxicated, which even the neophyte Hare Krishna doesn't do. Even neophyte Hare Krishna doesn't drink chai and coffee. And the Dwarkavasis were drinking liquor and they killed each other. So this should have been scandalous. This should have been the topic for criticism by Vidura. This should have been topic for asking question with great anger. How could the Dwarkavasis who are such pure devotees drink liquor and kill each other? This is not proper. Is this Vaishnavism? Is this how devotees should behave? But he is asking nice questions. Oh, please tell, how is Pradyumna, the commander-in-chief? Where is Pradyumna? Gone. He got killed. He killed someone else. Someone killed him, he killed someone. In the fratricidal war, the whole list coming through are a bunch of people who have just departed, killing each other after becoming intoxicated. Right? So what should be the question? If you and me were there, what we would ask Uddhav? No, first we'll ask how it happened. Kisne kisko mara? Kahan se start hua? Right? We would get into the internet gossip. And then, secondly, then we would start thinking, oh, they should not have done like this, you know. This is very, very sad. I thought Dwarka Vasis are very elevated people, are they? वो लोग भी ऐसे ही कर रहे हैं. What is this going on? So, knowing fully what has happened, in the context of that, Vidura is asking these questions. So, that's not an ordinary thing. that requires an extraordinarily pure heart which is free from any tinge of envy. And only then one can be free from fault finding. Only then one is free from... And why we find fault? Is because we still have that controllership mentality. We have a keen eagerness to establish my superiority over others. And by analyzing others' faults, it gives me some satisfaction that I am kind of superior. So the discussion of others' faults gives a latent satisfaction of superiority based on the false ego. And therefore, people relish analyzing and discussing events which expose so-called faults of others. Right? So Vidura did not indulge in an entire exercise of analyzing the details behind the events which happened in Dwarka. He just understood Krishna knows what happened. They are Krishna's devotees. They have a personal relationship with Krishna. Krishna will take care of them. And whatever details happen, what happened? It's not for me to judge or analyze like that. Hare Krishna, yeah. So, then we'll see the next one. So that's basically the background, because as we proceed in each one of the verses, it's only like names of the Dwarkavasis. So I'm just setting the context for that discussion. Kachit varutha dhipatir yadunam pradyumna aste sukhamangavira. Yam Rukmini Bhagavato Bhilebhe Aradhya Vipran Smaramadi Sarge. Kachit sukham sattvata vreshni bhoja.
Kachit sukham sattvata vreshni bhoja.
Dasharha kanam adhipasa aste.
Dasharha kanam adhipasa aste.
Yam abhyashincha chatapatra netro. Nripasanasham parihritya dura.
Nripasanasham parihritya dura.
Oh my friend, tell me, whether Uprasen, the king of the Satukas, Vishnis, Bhojas and Vishalas, is now doing well. He went far away from his kingdom, leaving aside all books of his royal throne. But Lord Krishna again restored him.
Kachid hare saumya sata sadriksha.
Kachid hare saumya sata sadriksha.
Aste grani rati nam sadhu sambha.
Aste grani rati nam sadhu
sambha. Asotayam jam bhavati vratadhyā. Devam guham yombikaya dhritogre.
Devam guham yombikaya dhritogre.
The gentle one, this Sambha farewell, he is exactly resembles the son of the Krishna king Godhead. In a previous birth, he was born as Kartikeya in the womb of the wife of Lord Shiva. And now he is being born
Kshemam sakachit yoyodhana aste.
Kshemam sakachit yoyodhana aste.
यः फाल्गुनाल्लब्धधनो रहस्य लेभेञ्जसाधोक्षजसेवयैव गतिं तदीयां यतिभिर्दुरापाम् क्वचिद् बुधस्वस्त्यनमीव आस्ते श्वफल्कपुत्रो भगवत्प्रपन्नः यः कृष्णपादाङ्कितमार्गपांशुषु अचेष्टत प्रेम विभिन्न धैर्य
So the one of the words used here is Shafal Kaputro Bhagavat Prapanna Anamiva Kachit Buddha Swasti Anamiva Asti. He is considered as faultless. So in the Shamantakmani pastime, Akrura, he took a position which was a little controversial. What did Akrura do? Anyone remembers? He kept the Shamantak money and he went away. Right? And it appeared that he is opposing Krishna. That's how it appeared. And people started doubting and there were discussion and everything. Of course, Jiva Goswami says, because he got the curse of the gopis, so his character came under question mark. Right? But that is considered to be like part of the pastime. And here, Vidura is saying, Anamiva. He is faultless. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, a pure devotee is naturally faultless because he is always associated with the Supreme Pure Personality of Godhead. Constant thought of the Lord is antiseptic method for keeping oneself free from infectious contamination of the material qualities. Right? So therefore we should know that fault-free condition is not available for anyone in creation including Krishna. Because even when Krishna performs pastimes, Shishupal is able to find sufficient number of faults. Duryodhana is able to find sufficient number of faults. Right? So many scholars till date continue finding faults. They have written so many books about that. So if the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether he appears as Ram, Narsingha, Vamana, whatever, he is subject to, you know, judgment and fault finding. So we should know that a devotee who has dedicated his heart and soul to surrender to Krishna, so that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is his main lakshan, mukhya lakshan. So mukhya lakshan of a devotee is his surrender. Right? So surrender to Krishna. Bhagavat bhaktitah sarvam iti utsrijya vidherapi kainkaryam Krishna padaika ashrayatvam sharanagati. So therefore here it is written, faultless soul surrendered to Krishna. Prapanna. Shvapalka putro bhagavat prapanna. So what is the definition of surrender? Surrender means three things. Bhagavad bhaktitah sarvam. Kainkaryam Krishna padaika. So to consider one's goal in life to be the kaikaryam of Krishna's lotus feet, the servitude, the selfless servitude of Krishna's lotus feet as one's goal in life. Kaikaryam, Krishna padaika, only, exclusively to Krishna's lotus feet and not to anyone else and anything else. Exclusive servitude to Krishna's lotus feet should be the goal. Number two, to achieve that goal, the process followed is Bhagavat Bhaktita Sarvam. To consider devotional service to Bhagavan and service to the Vaishnavas, to the Bhagavatas, Sarvam, to be all in all, without having requirement of any other extraneous process or intervention. So taking exclusive shelter of the process of bhakti to attain the exclusive devotional service of Krishna's lotus feet. And third, iti utsrijya vidher api, and to achieve this above two aforementioned points, to attain Krishna's lotus feet and to practice the process of bhakti, one is willing even to give up other rules and regulations and conditions which may even be implied in the shastras. Iti utsrijya vidherapi. Willingness to give up even shastric injunctions which appear to be opposing these two principles. So, Bhagavat Bhaktitah Sarvam iti utsrijya vidherapi kainkaryam Krishna padaika ashrayatvam sharanagati. That kind of ashray is called sharanagati. Sharanagati. Gati means movement. So, sharanagati means it is the movement or the journey of a soul taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So it is a dynamic process. It is not a static process. It is a dynamic, ecstatic process as we increase our movement and come closer to Krishna's lotus feet. It is a journey towards Krishna's lotus feet. That is Sharanagati. Like that. So therefore, there is a very important point here that Bhagavat Prapanna, and if one is doing that is considered by Bhaktivinoda Thakur as Mukhya Lakshan. That he is on the journey. He is on the journey. That's the main point. He is on the right path. He has taken the right train. He is sitting in the right place. Now he may be snoring while sleeping in his berth. He may be, you know, eating too many moongphali. He may be doing this, doing that. He may be catching hold of every vendor who comes to sell anything. Right? When we are sitting, we see that all kinds of passengers are there. So therefore, that is called Gauna Lakshan. Gauna Lakshan means secondary characteristic. So the primary characteristic is, are all these people sitting in the right train, which is headed towards the right destination? Yes. Number two, the details about how they are behaving and dealing during the journey is a secondary aspect. And therefore, that should not be subject to our fault finding. Like that. Yeah. Yeah. Only sambandh is there, prayojan is there, and Bhagavad Bhaktita is abhideya for sure. Yeah. But the third one is described kainkaryam. The second one which is said iti utsrijya vidher api. That's nothing to do with sambandh abhideya prayojan. It is not, you know, it is just like rejecting anything else which is opposed to these principles, like that. So, the main point is this, that here,
Ya Krishna padankita marga pamsu acheshtata prema vibhinna dhairya. Right?
So that is another aspect which is described here, that he lost his mental equilibrium due to his ecstasy of transcendental love and fell down on the dust of a road which was marked with footprints of Krishna.
Okay, in particular context of time and place, the transcendental emotions take a different turn, and this breaks the mental equilibrium of the devotee. Like that. So this Akrura is also... So Akrura was also one of those in Dwarka, because he was in Dwarka at that time. You know, so even he was party to the liquor party in amongst the Yadavas and the destruction after that. Okay. So then the next one is described.
Kachit Shivam Devaka Bhoja Putraya.
Vishnu
Prajaya Iva Deva Matu. Yavai Swagarbhena Dadhara Devam. Trayi Yatha Yagya Vitanamartham.
So Devaki is compared to Vedas, and Lord is compared to the purpose of the Vedas. So Devaki also is asking, how is Devaki?
Apisvidaste Bhagavan Sukhambo.
Yah Satvatam Kamadugho Niruddha.
Yam amananti smahi shabda yonem. Mano mayam sattvaturi yatatvam.
Right. So also creator of the mind. So therefore Aniruddha is also considered to be controller of the sun planet. And therefore Prabhupada in the fourth canto in the Rudra Gitam, he explains that the sun and the mind are closely connected. So when the sun is shining brightly, then the mind becomes also opened up and fresh. And when the sun is not visible, then the mind goes into depression. So therefore in many of the Western countries, they have this problem of winter depression. Because the sun doesn't come out for 4 or 5 months. From November till April, May, they don't see sun at all. So it creates that kind of a... So to be able to see the sun is a luxury. So, you know, here we have rainy season, but still it's not so bad. The sun keeps coming out, back and forth. But we should know that the sunlight plays an important part, and that is connected to Aniruddha, is the presiding deity for both. Like that, so that when you are doing the fourth canto, you will come across that.
Apesvidanye cha nijatma daivam. Ananya vritya samano vrataye. Hridika satyatma jacharu deshna. Gadadaya swasti charanti saumya.
So, this whole section ends now, the questions about Dwarkavasis. Right? Now he is going to begin questions about his own family from Hastinapur. Because he kind of probably assumes that Uddhava has, you know, travelled everywhere and is aware of what's going on. You know, that's the extent to which internet was available for Vidura. That whatever Uddhava shares is the only information and news he has at his disposal. So just another important point is that Vidura is also Yamraj. So for the major part of the creation, so amongst all the yugas, the amount of time Vidura has spent in the role of Yamraj is very significant. And the amount of time he has spent in the role of Vidura is very insignificant. Right? Probably just a few hundred years or something since the Leelas have begun as Vidura. And the main job description of Yamraj or the main service of Yamraj is to judge. Judgment. To judge and punish. To judge and punish. That's his day in and day out 24/7 seva for the time of Brahma's day. He has to be constantly doing that service to Krishna as one of the Mahajans, as the justice giver. Right? So therefore, many times when we perform a certain service, a certain kind of skill sets is required for doing that service. And many times even if we don't have the skill sets, then the service also has an effect on creating certain sanskar and certain skills and certain character traits. So, by the power of association, both leave an indelible mark on each other. The devotee impacts the service and the service impacts the devotee. So you can never separate the two. No one can ever say that I performed a service and I remain totally detached and unaffected by it. Right? So one may do a service and the service may affect. One may actually put his heart and soul in performing the service well. But the nature of the service will also affect the devotee. So therefore a service which involves constant judgment and constant issuing of orders for punishment, it can also impact one's consciousness. So you see any of the police people, they're not very pleasurable people to, you know, deal with in the police station. You can't go and discuss 10th canto in a police station sitting there. Because he's surrounded by all kinds of crazy stuff going on. You know, pickpockets are coming in, murderers are being brought in. In that scene, how can you tell him, chant Hare Krishna here? It's madness. So that's what Yamraj is going through. But what happens is many times, the effect of the seva is such that even when we are off the service has already created dents in our mind. It has created its effects. So even when we are not on duty, then those marks impact us, affect us because of those imprints, and it affects our dealings with other people, even when we are not doing the seva. So then it's a common matter for study that the executives who are highly stressed out in their jobs, they come back and they start screaming and fighting with their family and wife and children, and you know, so many families get broken up because they are doing certain things in their job and the demands of the job is creating certain transformations in their character. But even when they come back, they are not able to prevent the impact of that on their life and their habits. So therefore a person who has spent his significant amount of time simply judging and punishing So he must be constantly tuned in to catch the fault, see the fault, analyze the fault, and punish. So to see, analyze, and observe, analyze, and punish. That's Yamaraj's life. Such a person who's a constant fault finder is here in the role of Vidura, and all he is doing is simply inquiring about all the Pandavas, about all the Dwarkavasis, in spite of the fact that he knows what went behind the destruction of the Dwarkavasis. He knows that everything which happened in Dwarka, which resulted in the destruction and the fratricidal war, was not all normal. There were extraordinarily abnormal events which happened, which led to that fratricide. So this shows that a Vaishnav by nature wants to be above fault finding. But when given responsibility, then he may have to take on that role of judging and punishing. That's not a natural trait of a Vaishnav. Under force of circumstances, because of the demands of a service, under the instruction and empowerment and desires of higher powers, he may do it. But a Vaishnav is not someone who relishes judging and punishing. He just relishes to discuss the good qualities of other Vaishnavas. He relishes overlooking the faults, apparent faults and discrepancies which may come across. But by nature, he likes to actually overlook faults. But under circumstances, he may be forced to perform this activity. So that's an important element to understand. That sometimes, as they say, the momentum of what we are doing, it makes us continue doing the same thing even when there are no service demands. Right? So, to know, as they say, the most difficult thing in life is to know when to stop. The most challenging thing in life is to know when to stop. To apply the accelerator is easy. To apply the brake is most difficult. So therefore, to know when my mandate ends. Okay, my mandate for judging people has ended. Now I am in the role of Vidura. So he is not going on discussing faults and saying what to do. It has become my nature. Because of the seva, I have become like that only. Right? So we should know that when we perform a service, to know that service means I just try to fulfill the desires of a superior. That is service. Service is not some activity which I love doing, which I relish doing, I enjoy doing. What I love doing is not service. What I am told to do for a certain period of time, in a certain way, by certain people, that is service. Right? So a time may come that although under instructions, although under empowerment, although under guidance, under orders of seniors, we continue doing things, but we also love doing it. Sometimes both match. Our likes and the orders match. And when both of them match, the difficult thing would be to put the brakes when the order is released. That, okay, you no longer have to do this. Sorry, but I'm loving it. That is the challenge, to know whether what you have been doing so far has been seva or just karma. So then when you manage to apply the brake, then you understand it was seva. If you can't apply the brake, you should know it is karma, an activity you are doing out of your own whimsical needs. So therefore here Yamaraj is renounced. He is taken a break. He's joined the Vidyapit. You know? So therefore, Vidura is simply focused on what the wonderful things Dwarkavasis have been doing. He is not worried about any other things. And now he knows A to Z about what happened in Hastinapur. He was part of it, he is the affected party. Vidura is affected by the conflict between Kauravas and Pandavas. But still he is inquiring about the Pandavas.
Api svadorbhyam vijayachuchabhyam. Dharmen dharma paripati setum. Duryodhano tapyata yat sabhayam. Samraj lakshmya vijayanu vritya.
So, this demonstrates Duryodhan's character, that the entire battle of Kurukshetra happened because of envy. Not just because of Duryodhan, because of envy in Duryodhan's heart. So that's the power of envy. Envy can destroy the most established kingdoms of religion. Right? So we should know that it's a major enemy to battle. With Krishna's presence, with Pandava's presence, they could not manage to uproot the envy in Duryodhan's heart. And one person's envy, which remained uncontrolled, demolished the lives of 64 crore soldiers and created a total destruction of the entire opulence of Hastinapur. So therefore, the greatest challenge in ISKCON will come from within, on how each devotee struggles hard to uproot the envy in his heart. Otherwise, it is self-defeating. It is like putting fire and then pouring water. We bring in people to ISKCON and then they come in and see that, oh, here dealings are based on envy. So what is the difference? What is the difference between outside world and inside world? Because Vaikuntha by nature means that we are promising a life free from envy. So therefore, we cannot expect sadhakas to be free from envy, but at least when we are aware that envy is a disease, then we can control the expression of envy in our speech and in our dealings. So therefore, it is very important for us to note this. Destruction was caused because of envy within the heart of one person. And that one person, with an envious character, was given power. He was given decision-making powers. So therefore, to have envy is dangerous, and to have an envious person decision-making powers is even more dangerous. So therefore, beyond all kinds of training in administration skills, management skills, leadership skills, what is important is creating a heart which is free from anarthas and creating a high quality of character. So that between character and competence in spiritual leadership circles, one must focus more on creation of a good quality of character. a heart which is free from envy. And such non-envious personalities can only become trustworthy.
Kimba kritagheshu aghamat atyamarshi. Bhimo hi vaddir ghatamam vyamunchat. Yasyangri patam ranabhurna sehe. Margam gadayash charan charato vichitram.
Yeah, they say about the cobra, that the cobra remembers just by seeing the guy. You know? And he's waiting for the right opportunity and then he will come and strike. This has been also theme of many Bollywood movies and all. So the cobra will remember, especially if the cobra is with his mate and someone attacks one of them, then cobra will remember. So Bhima is compared here. He remembers what was done to Draupadi. So Vidura is asking, did he release that venom? You know, what happened to that battle? Like that.
Kachidya shodha rathayotha panam. Gandhi vadhanvo paratari raste. Alakshito yacharakuta gudho. Maya kirato girishastutosha.
Right. So then he is asking about Arjuna. So now then he asks the next question about Kunti, about the two brothers.
Yamau utasit utasvit tanayau prathaya. Parthair vratau pakshma bhirakshiniva. Remata uddaya mrde svariktam. Parat suparnau iva vajrivaktra.
Right, so now he is asking about the Nakula and Sahadeva. So they were stepbrothers because Kunti took charge of them. Nakula and Sahadeva were as good as the three Pandavas, like that. So therefore, this is an interesting point that a Vaishnav doesn't see distinction. A Vaishnav's heart is always accommodating and unifying. And a non-Vaishnav heart is always divisive. Mamaka Pandavas Chaiva Kim Akurvata Sanjaya. So that is Dhritarashtra's heart. Dhritarashtra is always making a distinction between my sons and the sons of Pandu. Whereas Kunti never thought Mamaka and Madri's sons. Right? She didn't consider that, you know, the three sons were Pandavas and the other two were Madrasis. They were all one. Not even once that kind of a mention comes from Kunti. So therefore, it's amazing that, you know, so many Vaishnava sects are at court with each other. There are court cases going on among so many, you know, Vaishnava groups from history, conflicts. So this is a major discrepancy between what's expected and what is being portrayed. The Gaudiya Math went to court, then Bangalore has gone to court, and so many others keep going to court. And even otherwise, there are conflicts based on groups, based on gurus, based on temples, based on fundraising, based on zones. So many of these organizational realities, they force us to go deeper into our hearts and balance Vaishnava philosophy with actual implementation. Right? So therefore, we should know that the reality of material world has to be faced. And the reality is that there will be these kind of differences, these kind of distinctions. But the important thing is balance. And balancing is the most difficult and challenging thing. To go on either extreme is always easy, but to balance is the most difficult. So therefore a Vaishnava is a person who knows how to balance the Krishna Tattva, Jiva Tattva and the material energy in the best possible way. To the extent one is able to balance the three, to that extent he understands how to deal in different situations. So none, after having asked about the five brothers, right? So this is very interesting. It's interesting that in the previous verse he's asking questions about Bhima as if he doesn't know fully, has released his long-cherished anger upon the sinners. And in this one is kind of saying that as if he knows that it has happened, who snatched back their rightful kingdom from the hands of their enemy Duryodhan. Right? So Prabhupada says in the purport that Vidura has a question which kind of indirectly hints at the character of the Pandavas. As they say, if you want to test a man's character, then give him power. Give him power. Then you will understand what kind of character he has. So as long as you are in the forest, it's easy to remain together because there is nothing much to divide apart from prasad. So the five in the forest were together for sure, but once they got their kingdom back, did Yudhishthir, Bhima and Arjuna make some distinction between these three and the other two after the prosperity came? Like that. So Vidura was anxious to know whether after winning back their kingdom, the younger brothers were still living happily under the care of the elder brothers. After becoming king and emperor, and after all the 100 enemies were destroyed and there was no more any opposition, did Yudhishthira and Bhim still feel the need to stay united with those two brothers? Because when 100 people are opposing you, definitely those two would be a great help. So therefore, we should know that a Vaishnava's heart is filled with desire to express causeless love, to love and express feelings without any cause. So the Pandavas were not united for political reasons. So political reasons would make the entire relationship very selfish and motivated. So to demonstrate that the Pandavas' relation was unmotivated, that even after victory, there was no need for them to still maintain relationship with those two brothers. You know, but they maintained. So we see this is the difference in the character. Whereas so many stories we hear during the Mughal times, the son only kills the father, brother kills brother. Right? It's a common thing which keeps going on amongst, you know, dynasties which do not have a good quality of character.
Aho prithapi hriyate bhakarthe. Rajarshivaryena vinapitena. Yastve kaviro dhiratho vijigye. Dhanur dvitiya kakubhas chatasra.
Right. So, King Pandu is described as the greatest commander. And Prabhupada is referring to the Vedic times where a faithful wife could not live without the husband because of the intense attachment. Okay. So, this shows that Kunti, she continued living for the purpose of protecting the children. Like that. That was her main concept. So therefore, leadership is all about service. Leadership is not about personal enjoyment. It's the burden of love. So Kunti considered taking care of her sons a burden of love. It was heavy, it was difficult, surrounded by all kinds of inimical forces, without a husband to protect, but it was a burden of love, like that. So therefore, when we speak of care, care is always on the foundation of selfless love. One can never express care on the basis of selfish desires. Like that. So when you are selfish, then every thought of care is filled with scare. Then you only think of so many problems, so many difficulties at every moment. So only when there is the lubricant of love, then only the burden becomes tolerable. Otherwise, it just becomes nuisance. The same activity is considered nuisance if the lubricant of love is not there. Right? In a Vidyapit class, if a child starts crying and screaming, our first thought is, this child is creating nuisance. But the mother who's, you know, taking care of that child interprets that cry as a call for food or hunger or, you know, water or love or whatever. Her interpretation of that same incident of a crying child is different from our interpretation, because the difference between us and her is she has the feeling for that child. Therefore, the brahmacharis who stay in temples of ISKCON don't have wives and children. So, they have deities. They have devotees to take care of. So therefore, the brahmacharis must connect with ISKCON and their responsibilities in ISKCON in the mood of vatsalya. Vatsalya means, I am the caretaker. Just as a grihastha thinks, I am the caretaker of this lady, I am the caretaker of these kids. And then he views them with that salve of love. Then the burden becomes tolerable. So if you are living in a temple, thinking that now I have joined ISKCON, life is peaceful, I will enjoy, ISKCON will take care of me. So if anyone becomes a grihastha and thinks, I am going to produce a son who will take care of me. So what a mismatch in expectation. Because as soon as the son is born, for so many years, he will keep crying and doing all kinds of things. Right? So when you join ISKCON, you should never think ISKCON will take care of me. Because we are in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, where all the five rasas Mahaprabhu has given us from Madhurya, Vatsalya. So Vrindavan means every Vrajavasi is thinking, I have to take care of Krishna. So the only reason we join ISKCON is how I can take care of Krishna. If I don't take care, what will happen to Krishna? How will Krishna eat? How will Krishna sleep? How will he feel? So all our responsibilities and duties we perform with that consciousness. So therefore, Kunti Maharani, she was able to actually handle her responsibilities mainly because she had a purpose. And the purpose was caring for her five sons who were helpless. So, sorry? Sorry? Second bow. What it means? So here it says, it is understood that Maharaj Pandu was a great warrior. He alone with the help of bow and arrow could conquer the world's four directions. That's what it says. Huh? So second bow ka kuch Mahabharat mein story hoga? Huh? Yeah, so there must be something. Dvitiya, second bow. Kuch. Maybe nahi, maybe. Don't begin with maybe. You remind me of the scientist Radhanath Maharaj met, the Darwin guy, and his name was Professor Maybe. Professor Anil Maybe. Don't begin with maybe. Here we are not having like a quiz contest. I don't know. You have to read Mahabharat, which has 4 lakh verses, so you can check it out. Some Mahabharat expert you can ask. There must have been some pastime like that. Okay, next. Very beautiful verse. Saumyanushochetamadhapatantam. Bhratre paretaya vidudruheya.
Niryapito yena suhrit svapurya. Aham svaputran samano vratena.
So Dhritarashtra rebelled against his brother after death. By him I was driven out of my own house, although I was a sincere well-wisher, because he accepted the line of action adopted by his own sons. So now you can see, after all of this description, that pain which is there in Vidura's heart is being revealed a little bit. You know, but it's not coming out in a vicious blame game kind of a expression. He's so controlled in how he's expressing the cause for his, you know, being sacked. It's not like coming out with, it's not that he was speaking all this waiting for now to start shooting Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan for what they did to me. Saying, Saumya anushoche tam adhapatantam bhratre paretaya vidudrude niryapita yena suhrut swapurya swapurya aham swaputran samanubratena. So he's just saying that, he's just kind of lamenting that this poor fellow, Dhritarashtra, he just came under the control of his foolish son, Duryodhan. So he's not saying that I'm angry on Dhritarashtra. He's saying anushoche. Anushoche. I just lament that I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do anything to help this guy. Right? So he's not saying I'm angry. When you say I am angry, you are focused on yourself. What I went through. When you say, I lament, so Vidura is focused on what Dhritarashtra is going through. So in spite of his own adversity, his own insult, his own sense of injustice which he received, Vidura is focused on how Dhritarashtra is suffering. So this shows again the compassion of a Vaishnava. Saumyanushoche tam adha patantam bhratre paretaya vidudrudeya. Right? Dhritarashtra, who rebelled against his brother. So Viduna did not ask about the welfare of his brother. So beautiful thing is, so far he has been asking Uddhava, how was this, how was this, how was this. When it came to Dhritarashtra, he just makes a conclusion. Right? Because there was no chance of his well-being, Prabhupada says. Only news of his gliding down to hell. Vidura was a sincere well-wisher for Dhritarashtra. He had a thought about him in the corner of his heart. He lamented that Dhritarashtra could rebel against the sons of his dead brother Pandu, and he could drive him out of his own house on the dictation of his crooked sons. Right? In spite of these actions, Vidura never became enemy of Dhritarashtra and continued to be well-wisher. Such is the behavior of Vaishnava like Vidura. He desires all good, even for his enemies. So when we have some anger against someone, you know, especially in Vaishnava circles, we consciously avoid mentioning those person's name in our discussions and speech. You know, so there is like a extra caution, because we are afraid that our negative feelings will be caught. So because sometimes it's so painful, then we don't even want to think about it and bring it for discussion. We just avoid that topic. As they say sometimes, silence is golden. Right? So sometimes we live in denial. Sometimes we do not bring up such issues, such topics, specifically intense relationship issues with specific personalities. We just like to brush under the carpet and kind of forget it. But Vidura is addressing it. Yeah, Dhritarashtra kicked me out. Poor guy. He just came under the control of his sons. What can be done? He is lamenting for that.
Soham harer martya vidambanena. Drisho nrinam chalayato vidhatu. Nanyo palaksha padavim prasada. Charami pashyan gata vesmayotra.
Right. So this is a very beautiful verse which captures the heart of Vidura. As they say, how to face calamity, how to deal with calamity. Right? One is blame, second is tolerate. So Vidura, rather than blaming either Dhritarashtra or Duryodhan or even Krishna, sometimes when the tendency to blame is so strong, then we want to catch anyone, even somebody is not directly related also. So Vidura did not start screaming at Krishna that what are you doing? Simply watching this whole fun. No, he is just saying that Soham harer martya vidambanena. Lord, in this material world, without being recognized, drisha nrinam chalayata vidhatu. So, without being seen, the activities of Supreme Lord are like those of a man in this mortal world, are bewildering to others. Right? Why it is bewildering? Are those who are dedicating their lives for Him, they are thinking about Him, working for Him, serving Him, glorifying Him, and they are being thrashed and smashed and kicked and chopped, and He is just watching the show. He is not doing anything. Right? Will any union tolerate if a management deals with a worker like this? Right? The union will come together and demand action. They will say, Anyay, what is this going on? So he says that, you know, it may appear that he is not able to take action because he is also another human being. Therefore, Krishna is simply a dumb spectator in the whole Mahabharata game. Martya vidambanena. He appears to be a helpless guy, not interfering, not intervening, allowing massive injustice to pass by, and not fulfilling his promise that I am a protector of devotees. What kind of contract is this? You are promising certain thing in your contract, you are not fulfilling the terms of contract. What are the terms of employment? You remember me, I will protect you. We are remembering, where is the protection? What's going on? So, no, actually he is not Supreme Lord, he is a human being moving around. Martya vidambanena. Martya vidambanena means it appears that he is, you know, just like a mortal of this world. The activities of Supreme Lord are like those of a man in this mortal world, bewildering to others. But I know of his greatness. Don't think that just because he is a mute witness to so many injustices, he is not great. He is just waiting for the Mahabharata. He is setting the scene. He is creating the best auditorium for the Gita Pravachan. All this part of his plan to create a fantastic setting for Bhagavad Gita. Right? So therefore he says, Nanyopalaksha Padavim Prasadat, Anya Upalaksha, not seen by others, Padavim Prasadat, by his grace, I know about his glories. Charami Pashyan Gatavis Mayotra, and without any doubt, I do travel like that. I'm astonished, having traveled all over the world. I am not astonished, having traveled all over the world without being seen by others. Like that. So therefore, what is the meaning? Is that all over the world while traveling, a sannyasi sees the faults of the material world. The sannyasi sees that everyone and everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord. We are simply dependent on Him. So therefore, the first requirement for a sannyasi is fearlessness. Abhayam. Abhayam means fearlessness. When does he become fearless? When he realizes we are all under Krishna's control, Krishna's shelter. Like that. So if my palace is taken away, my occupation is taken away, I still have shelter. Krishna is there. So therefore, sannyasi is someone who is not afraid of change. And the only way you can be peaceful in the midst of constant change is when you are rooted in your unchanging remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet and service to his lotus feet. That remains the unchanging factor in the midst of all external changes. Only that can make a person really fixed and firm. Like that. So therefore he was not at all sorry to be bereft of a hearth and home, because he now had experienced that dependence on mercy of the Lord is a greater freedom than so-called freedom at home. A person should not be in the renounced order of life unless he is firmly convinced of being protected by the Lord. This stage of life is explained, Abhayam Satvasam Shuddhi. Every living entity is completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Unless one is in the pure state of existence, he cannot be established in this position. This stage of dependence is called Satvasam Shuddhi. The result of such purification is fearlessness. Narayana Para. Therefore, unafraid of anything, because the Lord protects him in all circumstances. With this conviction, Vidura traveled alone. He was not fearful. Oh, nobody is respecting me. 100 years experience as Prime Minister of Hastinapur Kingdom, and not one proper reception is being given. Do these guys know who I am? I am retired, but at least I am retired Prime Minister. I am not like a retired shopkeeper or something. I am a retired Prime Minister. So where is the respect? Where are the honors? No, he was not expecting anything like that, because he was pure. He was not seen or recognized by friend or foe. Thus he enjoyed freedom of life without obligation. So our multiple expectations of honor, respect, reciprocation from different people of the world towards us, those expectations continue to act as chains, even though we may have renounced the world. Bhalana khaibo, bhalana paribo. Bhalana paribo means do not wear beautiful clothes. And Radhanath Maharaj explained in one saffron ceremony what that means. People wear good clothes to attract attention to themselves. So a renunciant must not speak to attract attention to himself. A renunciant must not sing to attract attention to himself. A renunciant must not perform puja to attract attention to himself. While dressing the deities, renunciant must not think that this is my canvas, you know, for displaying my artwork. One should not consider administration, management, projects to be sources for displaying his power to attract attention to oneself. Bhalana paribo. So one should, whatever one does, it should not be to attract attention to self. It should be to attract attention towards Krishna. Like that. So therefore, Vidura travelled alone. He was not seen or recognized by any friend or foe. As Prime Minister, what a luxurious life he must have led in the palace of Hastinapur. People asking him for every small thing to fulfill his desire. To give up such a pampered life and to travel where not a single mosquito is there to ask about his welfare. That is detachment. He's really detached from any expectation of honor, prestige, position. Totally dependent on the Supreme Lord. Therefore, many times in ISKCON, the opposite thing happens. Nobody asks Brahmachari. But when you become sannyasi, everyone is behind you. Right? You get the, you know, 5-star facilities. Right? So therefore you should know that the whole purpose of renounced order is to become more unknown. By renouncing, Vidura became unknown. But in ISKCON today, by becoming sannyasi, you become So it is not a problem because one is taking sannyas to spread glories of holy name. But we should know internally that the whole spirit of sannyas is that I renounced even the desire to be known and respected and to be appreciated. So that's what Vidura is doing. He's just traveling around. You know, he enjoyed a freedom of life without obligation to the many duties of the world. So it's one of the very important purports for renounced order. Right? Vidura was completely different from Dhritarashtra. By the grace of Krishna, he was not foolish. And thus brother's association could not influence him. Very important. It was by grace of Krishna that he spent a century in association with Dhritarashtra and still did not get affected by Dhritarashtra. You require grace of the Lord not to be affected by materialistic fools. Like that. Dhritarashtra and his materialistic sense wanted to falsely lord it over the world but didn't have their own strength. The Lord encouraged them in this and thus they became more and more bewildered. So this is the whole point. Aray, how can Krishna encourage adharmic forces, those who are just embodiments of adharma, how could Krishna go on giving them nourishment like this? Make them succeed against the pious and the righteous Pandavas. Krishna is pouring water in the, you know, tree of injustice and is cutting down the tree of justice. So therefore he says, Soham harer martya vidambanena drishonranam chalayato vidhatu. So I have seen lot of games, that's what Vidura is saying. Lot of matches I have played. I know in last minute also the team can win. Goal can be scored in the last minute also. Right? There was a famous cricket match in Sharjah many years ago. You know, you guys must be very young that time, I don't know, but this was in the late 80s and this was in Sharjah and Pakistan had, you know, 4 or 5 runs to win in the last ball and there was this Javed Miandad and he shot a 6 against Chetan Sharma. That was like the, you know, darkest moment in cricket history in India. And after that, Chetan Sharma would be like hit with tomatoes wherever he went. Because everyone thought India is winning till the last ball. So till the last moment, Vidura is saying, I have seen a lot of games. So these so-called fellows must be winning till here, there. But ultimately, Krishna will make sure that justice will prevail. So it may appear that, okay, the forces of justice are losing in the match. Right? But till the last whistle is blown, match is not over. So therefore, he is kind of confident. That Drishon Ranam Chalayato Vidhatur Nanyopalakshya Padavim Prasadat. So Prabhupada says, Vidura wanted to achieve sincere devotional service of the Lord and therefore became a soul absolutely surrendered to the Absolute Personality of Godhead. He could realize this in the progress of his pilgrim's journey, and thus he was free from all doubts. Right? So to be free from doubts, you need the blessings of Kala. Only when Kala Prabhu gives his grace, then the theoretical knowledge gradually translates into practical realization, and you get conviction when you see that what I have studied and heard in the Shastras are also manifesting in reality. So you require the grace of time. So doubts are not always cleared immediately. The process of becoming free from doubt is continue. Continue the process, and in due course of time, gradually things are revealed. Gradually things will be revealed like that. So therefore, whenever one goes through a calamity or a difficulty, and Vidura was a prime minister, so he was in the midst of hotbed of politics. Right? So there are three kinds of responses we can make when we face some kind of a tribulation or difficulty in our life. One is an emotional response. Second is a political response. And third is a devotional response. What is an emotional response? Emotional response means we just feel that, oh, this circumstance has been so horrible. I just can't deal with it. I am so depressed. I am frustrated. I am, you know, that's it. I don't have any more desire to work. You do your thing, I will do my thing. Finished. Forget it. All my desires are crushed. I can't tolerate this anymore. I regret that I even did this, did so much. It's an emotional response. We can't deal with the reality which we face and we just withdraw ourselves. So emotional response leads to withdrawal. So then political response means, oh, so and so, Duryodhan did like this, Dhritarashtra did like this, okay, let me now try to create some, you know, political instability against them. Oh, Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra kicked me out of the palace. Let me call Bhima and see if he can help me at this time. Because the one guy who can counteract Duryodhan is Bhima. So Vidura didn't go straight from the palace to Bhima and say, can you come here for some time? Will you help me counteract whom? Duryodhan. So counteract the injustice of Duryodhan, if Vidura had taken a political response, he would have contacted Bhima. So that means to counteract one force, you contact another counteracting force. That is political. That is politics. Political response. Which is also required for certain moments, certain times, in certain situations. Right? But if we are So political response may be required for protecting institution, for protecting community, you know. But for protecting our own individual spiritual consciousness, it may not be the best response. Because a devotee by nature is always selfless. He is not concerned with what he goes through so much. So a Vaishnav, for institutional reasons, may respond politically. But for his own personal devotional life, he may not respond politically. So the third kind of response is devotional response, which is what this verse is talking about. Which is, see the hand of Krishna and submit to the will of Krishna. That's what he says here. He was not at all sorry to be bereft of his hearth and home, because he now had experienced that dependence on the mercy of the Lord is a greater freedom than so-called freedom at home. A person should not be in the renounced order of life unless he is firmly convinced of being protected by the Lord. This is devotional response. Dependence on the mercy of the Lord is a greater freedom than so-called freedom at home. This is the classic statement of Prabhupada. To experience that dependence on the mercy of the Lord is a greater freedom than so-called freedom at home. This is called Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhi. Every living entity is factually completely dependent on mercy, but unless one is in pure state of existence, he cannot be established in this position. This stage of dependence is called Sattva Samshuddhi, or purification of one's existence. And the result of such purification is fearlessness. So dependence is realized through purification, is manifested by one's consciousness of fearlessness. So therefore, dependence, purification as fearlessness go together. Like that. Okay, so therefore, and what is the basis of that fearlessness? He is aware that Lord protects him in all circumstances. Like that. Protection of the Lord. So that gives him the conviction. Okay. So therefore, these are the four things. A devotee who has conviction, first of all, he has to be purified. So the purification leads to conviction that Lord will protect. And that conviction that Lord will protect leads to fearlessness. And in such a consciousness of fearlessness, then he can become completely dependent on the Lord. Therefore, for the purpose of purification, one must take to the process of chanting the holy names and following the process diligently. Like that. So this is a very, very important verse, 42nd verse. Soham harer martya vidambanena drishonranam chalayato vidhatur nanyopalakshya padavim prasadat charami pashyan gatavismayotra. Nunam ripanam trimadot pathanam mahim muhus chalayatam chamubhi. Vadhat prapannarti jihir shayesho api upaikshataghaṁ bhagavān kurūṇā.
Thank you.
Right. So now he is explaining what he has mentioned in one word in the previous verse. Harer martya vidambanena drishonranam chalayato vidhatu. That, oh, the Lord appeared to be like a man of the mortal world, bewildering to others. Why? He is explaining this. He is the Lord. He is willing to relieve distress of sufferers. Vadhat prapannarti jihirsha. Prapanna arti jihirshaya. Very eager to relieve distress of the sufferers. Jihirshaya is willingness, desire. Arti, the suffering, willingness to relieve the suffering. Jihirshaya, Ishaha, he is the Supreme Lord. But api upaikshata, waited. Agam Bhagavan. He waited, refrained from killing. Although they committed all sorts of sins, although he saw other kings constantly agitating the earth by their strong military movements, carried out under the dictation of the three kinds of false pride. Trimada Utpathanam. So what is this three kinds of pride? Huh? What are the three kinds of pride? It's not there in Prabhupada's. Before you ask question, I thought I'll ask the question. What are the three kinds of pride, Baba? Huh? Oh, okay. Right. Wealth, education and followers. They became very proud of three kinds of possessions. Wealth, education and followers. They were constantly agitating the earth by movements of military strength. Like that. So Prabhupada writes a brilliant purport. That paritrana sadhanam vinasha duskritam, he says, Lord tolerated insult by Draupadi, to Draupadi, injustice against Pandavas, as well as insults to himself. Why did he tolerate such injustice insults? Why did he not chastise Kurus immediately? When Draupadi was insulted in the assembly by the Kurus by their attempt to see her naked, Lord protected Draupadi by supplying an unlimited length of clothing. But he did not chastise the insulting party immediately. The silence of the Lord does not mean that he excused the offenses of the Kurus. Very important point. The silence of the Lord did not mean that he excused the offenses of the Kurus. That's a classic statement. So many times people expect action when they see injustice. So many times the silence of the ISKCON management does not mean that the management has excused the offenses. Otherwise, many times people demand punishment and justice and think that the justice must be done as per their terms. Like that. What is your question? And? Birth. And here Prabhupada says, wealth, education and followers. You set up a meeting between Prabhupada and Chakravarti Pad. And let us know the conclusions. So, very important point. The silence of the Lord did not mean that he excused the offenses of the Kurus. Right. The Lord was just waiting to get them together and kill them all at one time, to make a shortcut in his killing mission. Because if he kept killing regularly, where will he do Leela? He needs time with the wives also. He needs to have Madhurya Ras also, Vatsalya Ras also. Right? So one should not think that ISKCON manager means only Bibhats Ras. So people keep demanding, "Arey, do this, do this." So many times people take up management ISKCON thinking that you know, this is a very peaceful thing. They think this is like, you know, some kind of a nice shelter. Somebody was telling me, I joined ISKCON thinking it is Dharamshala. I realized it is police station. Every day someone keeps coming with complaint, registering complaint, and demanding immediate action. Right? So therefore, many times waiting doesn't mean that one has not registered, but allow some time to pass. Right. So when Lord Krishna was personally present, there were many kings all over the world. He arranged for the battle of Kurukshetra. In the manifestation of Vishwarup, Lord expressed his mission of killing. So that's the 32 to 34th verses. The Lord always wants to see his devotee as the hero of some episode. So therefore, why Krishna waited? He just waited because in the end he wanted to make Arjuna hero. Right? So you cannot understand the mind of the Lord. That and nothing else is the explanation of his waiting. So to make one Vaishnava hero, Lord can tolerate a lot of injustices to many Vaishnavas for a long time. So that ultimately Vaishnava is made famous. Like that. So that Prabhupada says, that and nothing else is the explanation of his waiting. He wanted to see his devotee and friend Arjuna as the hero of the battle of Kurukshetra. So if Krishna had regularly killed, you know, 10, 100 at a time, then how will Arjuna become hero? That would not be to his credit. So he just waited and waited and waited and waited. Right? So many times one may not understand the reason behind someone's postponement of action. But there may be some deeper hidden reason behind that. So the whole idea is patience. Patience pays.
Ajasya janmot pathanashanaya. Karmanya kartor grihanaya pumsam. Nanu anyatha kor hati deha yogam. Paro gunanam uta karma tantram.
Yeah, if you read this last line, it's pretty intense. That he wanted to see his devotee and friend Arjuna as a hero, and thus he waited for all the miscreants of the world to assemble. That and nothing else is the explanation of his waiting. You just tell this to Draupadi and see how she responds. What? To make Arjuna a hero? You're allowing me to be stripped? Huh? So therefore, it is said, Martya Vidambanena. Krishna can never be understood. One cannot ask questions to him. Why you did this? Why you did that? He is the producer, director, script writer. You simply become actor, and whatever dialogue you are supposed to speak, just speak that. Don't change your role. So in that sense, when he wants a certain script, it can be pretty intense. He has allowed so many people to go through suffering. So if we start discussing, was it worth it? Just to make Arjuna a hero, Draupadi had to go through this. You know, this person had to go through this. So and so had to go through this. Was it worth? Was there a better way of making Arjuna a hero? We may have our better plan. But Krishna says, you are Jiva, I am Krishna. This is my plan. This is how I want to execute it. Just accept it. Okay, so Therefore, his activities are transcendental, are enacted for the understanding of all persons. Like that. So therefore, janma karma cha me divyam. So only when we sit in the association of devotees and discuss these pastimes, then the divyata behind his pastimes is revealed. Why he does things the way he does. So therefore, basically, this entire episode of the Mahabharata, and as the last line says, he wanted to see his devotee and friend Arjuna as the hero of the battle of Kurukshetra. That is the explanation of his waiting. So this is the opulence of Krishna's renunciation. Six opulences Krishna has: strength, fame, riches, beauty, knowledge and renunciation. So Krishna's waiting is a display of his renunciation. He doesn't want any credit for himself. He wants to give credit to his devotees. He's renounced. So that renunciation is displayed through this particular pastime.
Tasya prapanna akhila lokapanam avasthitanam anushasanesve arathaya jatasya yadushu ajasya vartam sakhe kirtaya tirtha kirtehe.
So therefore this particular verse demonstrates how Krishna simply reciprocates for his devotee's pleasure.
Tasya prapanna akhila loka panam.
All the rulers of the entire universe. Right?
Tasya prapanna akhila loka panam avasthitanam anushasane sve. Arthaya jatasya.
So arthaya, for the interest of prapanna, for his surrendered souls. Right? Vartam sakhe, please speak such topics of the Lord. Right? Kirtaya tirtha kirti, meant to be glorified in places of pilgrimage. He is ajasya, unborn. Yet he appears by his causeless mercy upon the surrendered soul. Prapanna, right? Arthaya prapanna. And he appeared in the family of the Yadavas. Yadushu, jatasya yajushu. Like that. So therefore, Vidura, having now explained to Uddhava all of his questions, he is just requesting him to chant the glories of Krishna. Anytime, anywhere, pure devotees meet and chant the glories of Lord. Lord is present without doubt. He is always there where pure devotees chant his glories. Like that. So therefore, Prabhupada, very important point he says, the surrendered rulers and the pure devotees are always strictly under the control of the Lord. They are never disobedient to the desires of the Lord. The Lord is therefore always attentive to them. So, how do you make the Lord attentive to you? Always be obedient to the desires of the Lord. So that to the extent we are always obedient to the desires of the Lord, one will be making sure that the Lord is attentive to us. Like that. So thus ends the first chapter of the third canto. And I'm behind by one chapter in my schedule, so I think that's fine. Any questions? Prabhu is also tired taking notes, so. Yeah. Yeah. Arjuna asked to, Yudhishthira was asking to Arjuna.
After asking a series of questions, last he asked him, what happened to Adilu Moros because your friend Krishna left.
Right.
But then you can see, because starting this series of questions, we asked him about Krishna.
Yeah. He's not asking whether Krishna has departed. How is he just asking, right? Did he say that Krishna has departed? He didn't say that. Yeah. Arjuna was definitely severely affected, and the moroseness was visible on his face. In the next verse, like in the next chapter, at some place, he mentions how, where, you know, negative things should not be discussed, something is that. Where is that? One purport comes, no? Where deliberately he didn't ask. So that means in the chronology, Vidura seems to have known about this first. So this incident is happening before that one. So Vidura, Uddhava come together, and then Uddhava is now, Vidura has passed through Dwarka. It's not mentioned when he passed through Dwarka, only the Dwarkavasis had departed or even Krishna had departed. That's not clear. You know, but probably he knew, probably he didn't know. But definitely the first thing Uddhava speaks is disappearance of Krishna only. So Vidura becomes aware of that. Then he goes back, then Dhritarashtra quits home, then Arjuna goes and, you know, comes back. So such a major news, Vidura never spoke to the Pandavas. That's also a big deal. It's like an earth-shaking incident. Like you go and meet a group of people and you don't tell them about their guru. Something major has happened, you don't inform them at all. So why these great souls do things in certain ways is beyond our comprehension. So he was so focused that he just wanted to deliver Dhritarashtra and he went. Vyavasayatmika buddhi. He was so focused only on saving Dhritarashtra that he didn't mention about Krishna only. Because he knew that they are anyway going to find out, so why I should become the instrument of the bad news. Like that. So it's interesting. He just spoke so many things, just focused on Dhritarashtra. So that also shows that Vidura, although he experienced the calamity and the anxiety of losing Krishna's association, right, even in that disappearance, he didn't forget his mission. Many times our enthusiasm is lost when certain personalities are not there. So Krishna is not there, but Vidura is still focused on his mission of preaching to Dhritarashtra. He didn't forget his preaching mission. Right? So therefore, we can spend hours discussing Bhagavatam and, you know, so many interesting flavors keep coming through as we go deeper and deeper. Muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavuka. Why
they did this, why they did not do this, why he did this, why he did that. That becomes the subject matter of Vayam Tuna Vitrapyama Uttama Shloka Vikrame Yata Srinvatamra Sagyanam Swadu Swadu Pade Pade. Right? So rather than, you know, asking questions about contemporary devotees with whom you live, questions about them become very painful. Why he did this? Why he did this? Why he did that? That's not relishable. You ask about historical characters. Why Vidura did this? Why Arjuna did this? Right? So you dovetail your question asking propensity to historical characters. So it is safe. And many realizations come out of the controversies. Whereas if we keep asking about, hey, why he did this? Why he said that to him? Why he did that to that? So that becomes gossip. So if you are intrigued about behavior of great Vaishnavas from Shastras, so that becomes Krishna Katha. Right? Because there is no intention of minimizing their glory. Whereas when you discuss the same questions with respect to your contemporaries, there is a tinge of trying to establish your superiority and minimize the other person by that discussion. So it comes under the category of gossip. Like that. Okay, any other question? Yeah, one more hand was there, yes. It's eye-opening. Yes. Yeah, and the son will pass stool, so you have to clean it up. That's the whole point. So the balance requires prayer, sensitivity, maturity, philosophical realization. Right? Dadami buddhi yogam tam enamam upayantite. We are partners with Krishna in this process. We are not jnanis, we are not on this path alone. Every step we are taking with help of Krishna. We are like children holding on to Krishna's little finger. So you should traverse the path of sadhana bhakti aware that Krishna's finger is there for me to hold on to. Allow him to lead you. Don't take tension that everything I only have to do. He is the Supreme Lord, let him also do things. Let him also open path for you. Let him also show you what's good for you. So for that, you have to be able to, you know, access those signals from Krishna through sincere practice of devotional service. Right? So as soon as there is this feeling that I have to do out of love, then all of those negativities become dissipated. So when you are thinking why I must do it, then you will always be filled with doubts. If you're not going to allow why I must do it to ever enter your head, and only think about how I must do it, then you will be filled with inspiration and enthusiasm and ideas. Even in that why I must do it also, which is the capital word, differs. If you say why I must do it, is different from why I must do it. So there is a difference between those two also. Or why I must do it? Is it required? So then that is different from how it must be done. So otherwise, then ISKCON is like a mall. In a mall, all products are available. Is it not? Bhagavad Gita is also like a mall, 18 chapters. Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Raj Yoga, Ashtang Yoga, this Yoga, that Yoga, Nishkam, Sakam. Everything is available, product display. But what is the main thing Krishna wants to sell? Sarva Dharman Parityajya. 18.66 is actually the main product. All other things are also on display. Customers can come and purchase as per what they pay. In a mall, tomato is also there and a gold ring is also there. What makes the difference? Affordability. How much is your credit card balance? Right? With 10 rupees, you can't go and buy the gold ring. You can't go and tell, give me this 24 carat gold ring. You'll say, okay, you won't get 24 carats also. So what is that mulya? Surrender. Sarvadharman parityajya. Mahamekam sharanam braja. So that is a heavy cost. High priced item. Bhakti. So therefore, you know, even while practicing the process, we should be knowing that if I have to taste that bhakti, which is what Krishna has come to give and which is what ISKCON has been established to facilitate access to, you could still be, you know, moving on the platform of jnana or karma or something, depending on your attitude and your consciousness. So that's the unique feature, that simultaneously similar activities are going on, but depending on what kind of price you are paying internally, you are accessing only a certain product. I will only study Bhagavatam because I like Bhagavatam. I like studying. So you will become, you are working at level of jnani. I will only do this seva because I love doing this seva. You don't tell me what it is. So you are working at the level of karma. Don't disturb my mridang practice. I have to become the best mridang player. That is my goal. So you are working as yogi, siddhi. You are attached to perfection. Oh, what is this? Morning 1 hour, this seva, then this seva, then that seva. I am not getting time to become perfect in anything. Only when I spend sustained time in one thing, I can become perfect. And what is the use of staying in ISKCON if I don't become perfect in something? That is Siddhi Kami. Bhukti, Mukti, Siddhi, Kami, Sakala, Krishna Bhakta, Nishkam, means no work. Ataeva, Shant. So, if you start feeling, I am not become expert in anything, that makes you restless, that is Siddhi Kami. Siddhi, you should not think like a yogi who will become anima, mahima, lagima, prapti, he is a yogi. No. That's some desire that, okay, when I'm in control of something totally and when I'm able to like manifest to perfection, then my existence is, you know, valuable, has meaning.
If the world is not able to see perfection flowing through me, my existence has no use. If you start thinking, that is anxiety due to Siddhi Kamna. Right? Jnana Avalambakah Kechit Kechit Karma Avalambakah Vayam Tu Haridasanam Padatrana Avalambakah. Some people take shelter of jnana, some people take shelter of karma. Vayam tu haridasanam padatrana valambaka. We take shelter of the sandals of the Vaishnavas, the chappals of the Vaishnavas. That means we try to aspire to be the servant of their desires. So you will neither have satisfaction of doing anything significant, nor gaining any significant knowledge, nor gaining any perfection. What do you get? Devotion. So therefore devotion is a very rare tattva. One is given entrance into the portals of the fortress of bhakti by the grace of a Vaishnava who takes you by the hand and brings you in. It is club membership. Entry by invitation only. One can't barge into that. One can learn about that, but gradually one will be led in by the grace of Vaishnava. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, you had a question, yeah. The bow is the second person. Okay, apart from? Oh. First is Pandu himself. Second bow. All glories. Okay, so thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Krishna Janmashtami ki. Srila Prabhupada appearance day ki. Jai Gaur Premanandi. Jai.